Aren't you glad God is a good God? And God gives talents to people that he doesn't give to everybody. And I was watching a movie last night about one of the songs that we sang or was sung this morning. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. And just the ability to put into words all of the different thoughts that you and I think, but we don't, I don't know how to put them into words. But I read those words and I think, wow, those are awesome. I just think they're great. Why didn't I think of that? But I didn't. And I just thank God for somebody that was able to think about Mary's viewpoint, as Bill was singing that song. Who would have thought? I didn't think about Mary. Did you know that when you kissed your baby, you kissed the face of God? I mean, who thinks up that stuff? That's awesome. I just think it's great to be able to stop and reflect on these different songs that we sing. In fact, I was telling one of the singers over in Odessa, I said, we need to start singing these songs once a month so we at least learn them. How many know all the words to all the songs, all the Christmas carols and every verse? And then somebody wants to sing it and it's like, I don't know that verse. And so I think sometimes we need to just kind of expand this and, you know, celebrate this all year long. And who cares if we sing about, you know, Mary, did you know, in July, or Away in a Manger in August? Why not? Why not? What's stopping us other than our own traditions? And so I want to just encourage you this morning with a few of my thoughts, which are not near as profound as what we've been hearing already this morning. But I want to go to the book of Luke again and read out of chapter 1, verse 26. It's great to see all the visitors this morning, all the Brown clan that's here. Thank you for coming, Micah. Awesome. It's just, they're all here. And mom has to sit behind them. Doesn't even sit with her husband up here. Oh. You should go back there, Dale. You should go back there and sit with your family. You're the only one up here. Come on, catch up. She was all by herself back there. You're watching over them, yeah. And Dale just says, they're big kids. They can take care of themselves. All right. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and I'm going to begin reading in the New King James. And it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to come to read your word and to, Lord, once again, just stand in awe of your goodness and your greatness to us. And Lord, we just pray that as we go through this service this morning, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Continue to minister to us, Lord God, in all that we do this week. Lord, may your name be glorified and lifted high. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I was looking at this morning, or not this morning, but this week. And actually, I've read this, I don't know how many times this month. And this phrase comes out to me every time I read it. And it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city. Did you ever pick up that? We always jump right to Mary. But he was not sent right to Mary. He was sent to a city. And the city's name was Nazareth. And then he goes on and talks about being betrothed to Joseph. And then he begins to explain who this was. Did you ever think about that? Why did God send him to a city? And what was going on there? Because I thought about this. God, why didn't you just send her to Mary? Now see, in my mind, again, in my mind, it's not real deep, but I always thought, okay, he just appeared. Poof, there he was. Why did he have to tell him to go to Nazareth if he was just going to go poof in front of Mary? Whoops. I wonder sometimes if we've made too much of our Christmas doctrine out of Christmas songs and not out of the Word of God. I mean, think about this. Gabriel was sent to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, most of us, if I was to ask you to describe an angel, he might be 9 feet tall with wings, and he probably glows with a white robe because he's been in the presence of God. And most of the time we get that picture from stories like Elijah or Isaiah chapter 6, where the angels had 6 wings and they flew back and forth in front of the throne of God, and they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And we forget about many of the other sightings of angels, where they were there, or they walked up. They didn't even recognize them as an angel. In fact, Gideon, remember the story of Gideon. Gideon was in the wine press threshing wheat. And an angel of the Lord came to him and sat under a tree. And they have this long conversation, and the angel says, "Mighty man of valor," and begins to tell him how he's going to deliver Israel and all this kind of stuff. And then Gideon begins to argue with him, says, "Wait, if you say that I'm a mighty man of valor, why have we suffered so many things?" And they get going back and forth. And then finally, the angel decides it's time to go. So he gets up, acts like he's getting ready to go. And Gideon says, "No, wait, let's wait a minute. Please let me fix you dinner before you leave." Very hospitable man. "Let me fix you dinner." So he goes and he fixes a goat and all the things and everything, and comes back to the angel and sets it before him. And the angel says, "Put it over here on this rock." And the angel reaches out with his staff, touches the rock, fire comes up out of the rock, and then the angel disappears. And then Gideon says, "He must have been an angel." Whoa. Now, he refers to him in the writing before as an angel, but I think that's because he's writing in past tense. He was there, so he knew this was an angel when he first showed up because of what happened later in the story. But he didn't recognize him as an angel. He didn't think twice about this. He just, this guy walked up and starts talking to him. Now, think about this for your Christmas story. And it's not going to change anything with salvation or anything, so let's just play with this a little bit. Think about this. Maybe this angel looked like the person sitting next to you. Right? What if that person next to you looked like an angel? Now, it tells us over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Let me read that to you. It says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." So angels apparently kind of look like you and me. Or they can. So what if Gabriel just went to the town in Galilee called Nazareth and was walking into the town and saw this lady in her yard fixing the flowers or whatever she's doing out there, walks up to her and starts talking to her. She invites him in for a glass of iced tea. And because listen to this other phrase here. Verse 28. Well, let me go back to 27. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said, having come into what? I'm assuming coming into the house. So, having come in, so the angel was outside, so the angel walks into town, sees Mary in the yard, taking care of the flowers, deadheading whatever she needs to take care of out in the flower bed, and they start this conversation. She says, why don't you come on in? Let's have a glass of tea. And then, as he comes in, the angel says to her, rejoice, highly favored one. Now, if I was to really take time this morning and ask each one of you, there's probably some of you in here that have some kind of a thought. You know, I'll bet that was an angel that helped out. There's probably some of you that have had people involved in your life. Somehow, I've heard of it, where people are stopped on the side of the road, broke down. Somebody comes along with just the right part, the right tool, gallons of gas, puts it in the car and gets you going again. I mean, I've heard stories like this where angels appear to be just like you and I, but they're speaking for God. They're on assignment. They're on assignment in your life. I just think that's an awesome concept to think about. That this morning or this afternoon when you go eat lunch, whether you go down to the restaurant, you go home, whatever, you may encounter an angel, a stranger. It says, do not be afraid to entertain strangers. Because in doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Now, this isn't all about angels this morning, okay? But I thought that was an interesting thought as I was thinking about this, reading this, and just kind of dissecting it in my mind as I'm meditating on this story that many of us have read over and over and over. And then they get into the house. They sit down. Mary puts the iced tea on the counter or on the table. And they sit down, and he responds to her, and he says, rejoice, highly favored one. Now, I think that's an amazing statement right there. And I've always thought, wow, what would it be like to be highly favored? How many have always thought your brother was the highly favored one in the house? Or maybe it was your sister. I didn't have sisters, so it was always one of my brothers. Somebody else is more highly favored than we are. And so when I read this story, I think, yeah, probably Mary. Mary was the highly favored one. But as I begin to look at this, and it says highly favored one, favored, that word favored is used twice in the New Testament. Highly favored. It's also used over in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. And it says, verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted or favored in the beloved. That word accepted and the word favored are the very same word. And that word comes from the word grace, charis. So what my point is this morning is that you are highly favored because of grace. It wasn't that Mary did anything different than any other young woman other than be willing to listen to God, to be a part of the family of God. Now, in Ephesians, it says that he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless. And he adopted us into the family of God. So if you and I are believers this morning and we are trusting and we've put our faith in God, then you are highly favored by God, because you are in the beloved. You are accepted into the family of God. You are highly favored. Now, I don't know if you wake up every morning looking in the mirror thinking, man, you are highly favored. You got it going, buddy. But you know what? That's who we are. So this week, I know this is Christmas week, but I want you to think about this. Mary was invited to be a part of this whole scene here that we read about in Acts, or Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. Plan. She was invited to be a part of that. But you know what? God has invited you to be a part of his plan today. God has invited you and I to be a part of what he's doing right now. Wherever you are, in whatever venue or whatever your circumstances are, he invited you to be a part of him, representing him in that, because you are highly favored. You are his child. You are his representative. You are his ambassador in that situation. And I just, this week, I want to challenge you to remind yourself every day that you are highly favored. You might need to get a sticky note. I wish I had sticky notes this morning. I'd give you a sticky note so you can put it on your bathroom mirror and it read, you are highly favored. So that you can remind yourself today and tomorrow, and every day this week, that you are highly favored by God. And you know, I think that when we start our day out thinking about God's favor towards us, it's going to change the way we look at our day. I am highly favored. And you know what? That shouldn't be any more arrogant of a statement than me saying that my dad was Jim Cox. I'm part of the family. I am part of the family, and I have rights as part of that family. And part of the rights of God's family is being highly favored. Because in Ephesians it said, that I am accepted in the beloved. Maybe you have always felt like you just aren't quite accepted. Maybe you just don't know where your place is in the family. And this is one of those times where we all kind of, we're getting families together and that kind of stuff, and we all, oh man, this is the hardest time because I just don't know where I fit in this anymore. No, nobody else is serving God, and I'm trying to serve God. And we kind of feel disconnected and disjointed from the rest of the family. But I want to tell you this morning that you are highly favored by God in his family. You belong. You are accepted. Don't let the enemy tell you any different. You are accepted by God. And God's got a story. And his highly favored one is in it. And that's you. You are in this story. And God, I wish we could all get an angel to come and sit down and have iced tea with us and say, you are highly favored by God. But you don't have an angel. You have me. All right? It's the best you got. So, here you go. You are highly favored by God. And I want you to remember that this year as we go into this Christmas season. That, you know, we think about this all being such a big, dramatic production. The kids were singing over in Odessa about the angels coming to the shepherds. Okay? It does not say that the angels were floating around up in the sky around the shepherds. In my mind, they always did. I mean, in my mind, the sky was filled with angels. A whole host of heavenly angels. It doesn't say that they were in heaven. It just says they were from heaven. And it says that the angels stood before them. Whole different thought there. We think of this big production when you know what? It probably was just like you and I meeting somebody and later find out, you know what? I wonder if that was an angel. I wonder if that was an angel. And now you guys are probably all thinking about all the angels that were involved in your life over the years and you didn't even know it. God wants to use you because you are highly favored. It doesn't have to be this big production. It doesn't have to be this big dramatic thing going on. He just wants you to get involved. Just wants you to get involved and be a part of what he's doing. Can you do that? All right, let's do that. Let's begin this week saying, God, I'm highly favored. Use me however you can.